say a word of thanks to Seneca and Maya. That was awesome. That was awesome. So, here's my plan. So this week, this morning, I'm going to kind of recap, just go through Abraham, just hit on those spots where God promised him this blessing and this amazing stuff. And as God led him, as God led Abraham through, there's some good lessons in that, Abraham's lead. So there's good lessons in that for us, as we know that Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness, and that's true of us. And so we can look at Abraham and just gain some confidence, some encouragement, some direction, just by hitting on a few subtleties of these things that we typically don't even stop and think much about anymore in these days. We don't spend a lot of time digging in the Old Testament, but there's some really rich, beautiful truths here that I want us just to take this morning and just bounce through him one more time, and then we'll leave Abraham and move on. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I'm preparing a message, studying a passage in Genesis that you probably have never heard taught this way, and it's gonna bring it right into the front pages, newspapers of 2021 of our nation. So it'll be a very different passage for you probably. You probably haven't spent much time there, and we will bring it right home to us next Sunday, Halloween Sunday. So today, Genesis, Abraham's lead. Let me say a quick word of prayer. Lord, as we go through this and look at the father of faith, the great man of faith, let us see with our heart, with the eyes of our heart, let us see the depth and beauty of his faith. Let us see the example as your New Testament told us it would be. Let us see those examples and be encouraged. May you glorify yourself. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of Cornerstone Christian Fellowship. So Lord, speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Very simply, the beginning of this journey for Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." There's the beginning of the journey. Notice that it says, "I will make a great nation of you," a great nation. He's going to build him into a nation of people. "And I will make your name great." You'll have a great name. And that is true. Abraham in the Bible, even in other religions, the name Abraham of the Bible, he has a great name. He is the father of our faith. That is amazing stuff. And those who bless him, God will bless. And those who curse him, God will curse. So forever, nations and politics have known that Israel is God's blessed nation. And so, at least for our country, we have always stood by the side of Israel. And this verse has a lot to do with why we've supported Israel. But if that nation is that peculiar nation of people, if that nation is the spiritual nation of Abraham, then God also has a special place for his people, the church, those of the faith of Abraham. So not only do we look at Israel as God's nation of people, but we're told, and Peter tells us, that we are a peculiar people, a nation, a holy nation, right? So God is able to see Israel and to see his church, And those who curse the church, God will curse. Those who bless the church, God will bless. So if we fit anywhere into this parallel with Israel, we need to know that God is watching us, and God is with us, and God is here, and God is watching over His church. These are scary times for some of us. Abraham was told in this passage, I will bless those, and now he says, leave, go. Go from your country, go from your kindred, go from your father's house. It goes from big to small, right? Leave the country, leave your kindred, those people in your state, maybe you might say, leave your father's house, leave everything. Go. Now that's not unusual. You think, oh, that's an Old Testament, that's a weird thing back then. He told the apostles the same thing. When Jesus called the apostles, he said, hey, follow me. Get up. And they left. I mean, Matthew the publican, sitting there doing his job at his job, said, hey, come and follow me. And he got up and left a very lucrative job to follow him, as did the other apostles. So this isn't a really strange passage necessarily. Jesus also said in Mark, there's no one who's left house or home, mother or father, no one who's left any of that who won't be blessed many times more on this earth and in the life to come. So this whole thing of like, you're going to leave, you're going to leave all you have and follow me, that's really a fairly common thought as we think about the gospel going back to Abraham. And we know the gospel was preached to Abraham, to the New Testament, to us. That's not an unusual thing, and we admire missionaries today that leave everything and go into other nations. We admire them, but maybe the thought, maybe the principle here is, look, everything comes after me, Jesus is saying. Leave it in your heart. If you're not leaving it physically, leave it in your heart. Purge. Terry and I are purging right now. We're doing a big purge of our stuff, and our heart's attached to some of it. Our heart's attached to a lot of it. And maybe that's the principle here. If you're not going to get up and leave like some of these people did, if you're not a missionary today and you're ready to walk away from America and all your stuff and go live in a village somewhere, maybe your heart is ready to purge. But Jesus very clearly, from Abraham to the New Testament to Revelation, says, look, there isn't anything in second place after me. There's nothing in third place after me. I'm number one, two, three, four, and five. And there isn't anything that even compares to me. When it comes to obeying my scriptures, to walking with me, to going where I tell you to go, to leave, not kids, not spouse, not job, not stuff, not 401k. I am it. I want you there. And that is where he takes Abraham, and that is where he takes us. Big V word right here. Think about this. Vulnerable. I don't know if I spelled that right. Vulnerable. Think about that. Leave your nation, your kindred, and your family, and go to a place where I'm going to lead you to. That is called vulnerable. Put yourself in a place where you know nothing, have nothing, but what's on your back and the people with you that decide to go with you, and become vulnerable and let me lead you. Now that's a great place to be, but it's an awful scary place to be, isn't it? That's where he took him. That was the faith of Abraham in this very first call. Leave everything, leave people, family, kindreds, leave, and just go where I take you. That seems like a good salvation call. That seems like a good salvation teaching to someone thinking about Christ, to say, look, he's your all. He's going to be your, and you're going to put yourself in vulnerable places if you follow him, because he's capable of leading you. vulnerability. The best vulnerable times of my life seemed to be, and I don't know why, but they seemed to be times of decision making. I didn't make the best decision, maybe. Going to Bible college was a good decision that put me in a very vulnerable place. But there are times I'm very vulnerable when I'm very hurt, when things are very hard, and I feel like I have no one. I feel like there's nothing around me. I'm really vulnerable. And I pray like a beast when that happens, right? I pray like a beast when I feel vulnerable. My prayer life goes ding, 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 ding. That's a good place to be. That's where he was taking him. So let me encourage us with this. Right now in America, we feel vulnerable. If you're paying attention at all, we feel vulnerable right now. A year ago, that basket full of conspiracy theories, about half of them have been proved true now, and we know that the other half are going to be proved true. They just didn't want to tell us all that. But they're telling us now. The country is changing fundamentally. Press Secretary Jen told us that. If we get this $3 billion spending package, we're going to fundamentally change the economy of this nation. Listen to that. We're going to fundamentally tear down and change the economic structure of this nation if we can get this $3 billion. She told us that publicly. They want to destroy the foundation of the country and rebuild an entirely new one. And that feels vulnerable. They're telling us more information now as they feel we can handle it. And I feel very vulnerable. But God wants us there. God has a plan. God, there's nothing He's not in charge of right now. There's nothing that's escaped Him. There's nothing that's not just following His plan, letter for letter for letter. And He is saying, if you won't leave, I will take you there into this vulnerability so you know I am God. Follow me. Just follow me. Abraham was going to a far-off land he'd never been before, never dreamed of. And the only thing he had was God, and that's a good thing to have. Number two, Genesis chapter 13. This is about the promised land. This is the land He's promising them. It's very interesting. Sometimes we shift gears at about verse 14, but maybe we shouldn't. Chapter 13, verse 14, the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I'll make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise and walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." The promised land, here it is, here's the promise. This is what I want you to see. This is this little nuance I want you to see of this land we call Israel. It's really not much bigger than a couple northeastern states. It says that He said, look around you. I'm going to give you this land forever, build you a great nation there, multiply you. And this is after him and Lot separated, because they were already crowded. Him and Lot had so many cattle and people and stuff in that little area they were at. They had to separate because it was already getting crowded down there. And so Lot chose the valley over by Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, no, you just rise up, get up and start walking through this land. I'm going to give you this land forever. Forever. And it's a little shoebox of a nation, right? That's already like, look, me and Lot don't have enough room right here. Can't you give me China? I mean, if you're going to do something magnificent, like big, like forever, like build a nation, like the stars of the sky, are they going to fit in this shoebox? How are we going to do that? So, I mean, you don't know how it's going to happen, but it does happen, doesn't it? And the thought here, really, for us is, small's not bad if it's forever, if it's God's people. Small's not bad. It's going to endure forever. Maybe enduring small but powerful like us, maybe that's better than China big. I mean, maybe we should stop shooting for China big and start shooting for endurance and forever and strength in our soul and who we are as a church. And when God says, look, I'm going to build a nation and count stars in the sky just like we just sang, I mean, that's cool. It's over a period of forever. Maybe that's the type of church we want to build. Maybe we're never going to have the stars of the sky in 2021 or 2022, but we're going to be an enduring church, building true, true, legitimate, transformed, saved, Christ-like people who will leave and follow, arise and walk through the land. Maybe we, this small church, we arise and walk through this city, all 50 of us, and we go, we're going to change you. We're going to rock your world. Because we're enduring and we're forever and we're God's people. Yeah, we're the size of a shoebox compared to some of these other places. But we are mighty because we have God. That's cool. That's cool. Israel's been nothing. Israel's been nothing through history. They're just this tiny little thing. And they were gone for a while till 1948. But guess what? They're back. And they want to disappear them again. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because when God says forever, He means forever. If you know Him, if He's your Savior, you are forever His. Forever powerful. In your family, your kindred, your nation, your family, maybe in Goshen, Indiana. Maybe in Goshen, Indiana. Don't you give up a drop of hope of what we can't do here in Goshen, Elkhart County, because we endure. Because we build with the real steel of spiritual truth in our soul. That's a beautiful lesson. Let's build something that's enduring, that's His. And then we can walk through our little town and go, you have no idea what's about to happen to you. We are about to unleash our prayer life. We're about to unleash true soldiers of Jesus Christ on Goshen. Genesis chapter 15. The most famous little passage. The most famous little passage when it comes to Abraham, I would say, easily. Because it is the passage that he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. But I want to back up just a little bit, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. In a vision, fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And you know that Abram questioned God and said, well, what kind of reward? I don't even have kids yet. How are we going to do this? You keep promising me a nation and multiplying. I have no children and I'm getting old. But I want you to look at that phrase, fear not, Abram, I'm your shield, and your reward shall be very great. Let's just combine those two. Let's just take those two together for a minute. I'm your shield, and your reward shall be, will be, very great. Very great. So, Abram, you're going to need a shield as we advance toward your reward, this great reward. That's awesome. God is with me. He's going to multiply me. He's going to build a nation. That's cool. That's so good. But you're going to need a shield. And I am your shield, by the way. So let's just stop. As we think about this day and these times and advancing, and we want to impact our families, we want to impact Goshen, we're moving with God, let's just think about this. It is going to be vulnerable. It is going to be a little scary. I mean, I'm scared for my grandkids, but I'm probably not as anxious as my kids are for their kids. You know what I mean? I mean, they're the ones that still got to deal with schools and whatever, you know? So I'm a little bit anxious. Gaga's a little anxious, but not like these parents are anxious when they look down the road, right? And they go, whoa. So look, they're going to need a shield to get to the reward. And you've got one. You've got one. It's God. He is your shield and your reward. He's a two for one. It's an all in one. He knows this. He knows that as we advance toward this blessing of God, of your kids being the next church, boom, into this time, we know they're going to need a shield. It's not going to be necessarily always safe. It's not going to be that the devil doesn't shoot fiery darts at them. No, that's going to happen. They're going to need a shield, and they have one. So take a deep breath. Next time you really start feeling the blood pressure starting to course through your neck and your head, and you're going, oh my God, you've got a shield. You've got a reward. You've got all those promises. But you've got a shield too. It's him. Now, Ephesians, right? You know this one. Turn in your Bible if you would. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. You know this. Some of you got it memorized. You're like really good, really sharp. Way smarter than me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. In all circumstances, every single circumstance, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. In all circumstances, that would include 2021 America, 2022 America, 2023 America. That would include your children when they're 8, when they're 14. That would include that. In all circumstances, take up the shield. You need a shield of faith, and you will extinguish all the flaming darts of the enemy, the evil one. You will. The faith is, I have a shield, and it's God, and He's with me, and He's promised to be my shield, just like He did Abraham. He is our shield. We still need a shield. We're advancing. We're victorious. It's all there. But we need a shield. And it's that same faith of Abraham in God. He's my shield. I've got this reward. Yep, going to be in heaven someday. It's going to be so beautiful. But I need a shield right now. I'm going to keep advancing. I'm going to keep going, keep following. My kids, they're going to do this. They are going to walk with Him. And my kids have a shield and a reward. They're not left out of this loop. When I introduce my children to Jesus Christ, to the God of Abraham, and they have the faith of Abraham, guess what they have? A shield and a reward. Because He loves them as much as He loves us. This is nothing. This is nothing. There are people overseas in the Middle East. They've got a rough day ahead of them today. But not me and you. We're worried about the rain. See what I'm saying? We've got a shield, and we've got a reward. And so do my grandkids and my kids. So do your kids. So does she. They've got a shield and a reward. It's faith in Him. That's pretty awesome, I think. But know this, never forget, a soldier needs protection as he advances into battle. He doesn't leave home without his American Express, or a shield. Don't leave home without it. You've got a shield. Advance, advance, advance. Our kids will have the same shield and the same reward. God hasn't cut them out. So take a deep breath. Introduce them to Christ. Dig them into Christ. Raise them on the foundation of Christ so they understand their shield and their reward. Genesis chapter 17. Next on our illustrious list. Genesis chapter 17. I'll begin at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, said to him, I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. Just soak in that El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. He's still telling him this, right? This is like 6-7 times before it's all over. Then Abram fell on his face and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. I'll establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. So we have a new name given to Abraham, still promising him all these rewards, all these people, nations and kings, and you have no idea how I'm going to multiply you, Abraham. And he is childless and getting old. He gets a new name now. So let me just say, you got a new name. When you came to Christ, you got a new name. And maybe you haven't seen anything happened yet, but you got a new name. It's called Child of God. And you're waiting for all this to happen. But God's already named you Child of God. So it's there. It's going to happen, okay? It's going to happen. He's going to fulfill his promises, and he's already given you a new name. You're not the old Terry from high school, you stupid, young, arrogant idiot. No, you've got a new name, Terry, and I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to do things with you. Count the stars, if you can. Well, you can't, but he can. He can count the stars. So you have a new name, and you have a new covenant. There's a new covenant here. It's a new mark. There's a new mark on you. Boom. Wow. Okay, I've got a new name. Hey, I'm not who I was. That's great. But what about the new mark? The new mark for them was circumcision for all the males. And what did it tell them? The covenant was, I will be your God and you will be my people. I'm going to be your God. You get the mark, I'm your God and you're my people. If you don't get my mark, you cast them out. They're not going to be my people. Physically, Israel, following Israel. Today, now Colossians chapter 2, so you want to turn there with me real quick. Colossians chapter 2, we still get a mark. We get a new name, Christian, little Christ, child of God, and we get a mark in Colossians chapter 2. It goes something like this. I'm going to begin at verse 11. In him also, that's in Jesus, also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Nobody put hands on you. By putting off, you put off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which also you are raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses And the uncircumcision of your flesh God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to an open shame by triumphing over them. Mark that. Put a piece of paper there. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But you see that you and I received a circumcision. Boy or girl, it doesn't matter. He cut, he marked inside of us that flesh, that human nature flesh that is just always, always going into sin, always wanting to go the wrong way. He cut it, he marked it, said, I will be your God and you'll be my people. He cut it. He gave us the Holy Spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's in us. It marks us. It cuts us. We are his child. It's a permanent mark. And that's why circumcision to Israel was a permanent bodily mark. You are my people. And if you don't get the mark, God told them, cast him out. Get him out. If you don't have the Spirit today, you're none of his, Romans tells us. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not. You're not one of his. But if you do, your flesh has been cut. It's been marked. Having been baptized and believing. So in Acts, when they tell, what must I do to be saved? They say, believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized, and you'll be marked. You'll be given the Holy Spirit, marked as child of God, Christian. Beautiful thing right there. Faith in raising Jesus from the dead, it says. You're a whole new person. You believe Jesus rose from the dead? You crazy? Yeah. So much so, I'll go get baptized because I want to show the world. I want to show the world this. This is who I am now, and I have a new name. It's not crazy, it's Christian. I walk with the living God. And I'm not who I was. I'm not crazy man of yesteryear. Many of you aren't either. And the only reason you're not is because of that Holy Spirit that's living in you, or your flesh would drive you back to Crazyville. And the Holy Spirit marks you as his. That's amazing. That's amazing stuff right there. Just next time you're playing Bible trivia. How many kids did Abraham have?
Two.
FYI, Genesis 25, 1 through 6. FYI, Genesis 25. Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan, father, the dude was getting on a roll here, right? God blessed him with Isaac through Sarah, and Sarah died, and he took on some more wives, and the dude was having the kids at 100, over 100 years old. God, when God blesses you, it's the gift that keeps on giving, right? It's just good. It's just good. You know, you're never too old. You're never too old to multiply for God. You're never too old to be right in the thick of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You're never too old to learn. You're never too old to engage. You're never too old to share your faith. You're never too old. Never too old. If God's got you here, he can bless you and multiply you just like this old guy. There isn't anybody here over 100 years old. And our God is fully capable of multiplying you wherever you're at, whatever age you're at. When He marks you with the Holy Spirit, you're unstoppable. You're unstoppable. Genesis chapter 22. We were here last week for a little bit. Just want to wrap this up. I kept saying to you that Abraham was tested. You may have read that in verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham. He did. This was a test. You know, I hope I never go through a test like this. I mean, this is a test, right? I mean, it's not like some of our tests when we're like, oh man, what do I do? This was a test, right? After these things, after all this, God tested Abraham. I mean, it's like, leave your home, go, you don't know where you're, just trust me. I'm going to make you into the stars of the sky, trust me. You're 99 years old, but you're going to have kids, and just trust me. I mean, okay, just keep walking with me. Just, okay. And what, 25, 30 years later, we're still at it, and God still feels like He needs to test Abraham, and this must be the final exam. This must be the whole shoot and match test exam. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, so here am I. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, whom you cherish, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. That's a test. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and he saw the place from far. Then Abram said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship. We're going to worship and come again to you. They're going to worship. As far as he knows, he's going to worship God while his boy is sacrificed on an altar with burning wood and blood dripping out of his throat. And he is going to put that boy on the altar and sacrifice him as a burnt offering and worship God. And every mom in this place is staring bullets through me right now. And that is what God said, isn't it? Worship me. Worship me with the life of your only son. It's a test. Abram took the wood of the burnt offering, verse 6, and laid it on Isaac, his son. Isaac would carry the wood of his own sacrifice, like Jesus carried his cross. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together, and Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, Dad, I see you got the fire and there's the wood. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they got to that place which God had told him, Abram built the altar, laid the wood, bound, tied up, tied Isaac all up, laid him on that altar and on top of that wood. And then Abram reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son and worship his God. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. Just doing what you told me to do, God. Don't lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know you fear God, seeing you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Don't want that test. I do not want that test. And the admiration for Abraham just went through the ceiling of what he was about to do, to worship his God. That's nuts. That's nuts. Did you hear what God said? Now I know that what? You fear me. You fear me. I don't care what you say. When it says fear in the Bible, it's not reverence. It's fear. I know who that guy is. He is big. He is powerful. He is the God of everything. He is so huge. When he talks, I get on my face. And I just don't respect him. That's not respect that puts your only son on that altar with the fire in one hand. And then that is not respect. That is fear of God. That is obedient fear of the Almighty Creator, the greatest of all so-called man-made gods, whatever. No, this is the God of all things. That's faith. That's faith. And that's fear wrapped into one bow, one package. And if I have to worship him with the blood and the life of my only son, then I will. And that's the test that you and I need to just think about for a minute. As Terry and I are moving and trying to untether ourselves from some of our stuff, some of our memories. Oh, look, she used to play with this when she was dead. That's cool. But so many of us can't even untether from some of that stuff, let alone what Abram was just asked to do, to worship his God with his only child. And that is something we need to think about. Not any violence or hostility towards any. No, just cutting the cord of our heart to everything here, even our children. It's just God is to be worshipped with whatever he asks, however he asks. There's just no question. Is there grace? Absolutely. Is there mercy? Absolutely. But this is the fear and the faith, the trust that we are told about in the New Testament. Abraham never wavered, but grew strong in his faith. And this had to be the culminating thing. Now, God said, now I know that you fear me. You think God didn't know that before? You think this was a surprise? He knew what Abraham was going to do. He knew all along. Those angels were ready. They were ready to talk. They're just going to see what? Watch this. Let's just show all the demons and the devils and the enemies of heaven. Let's just show all the scourge of the enemy. Let's just show them what faith looks like, what a true servant of mine looks like. Go sacrifice your only son. There was never a moment where he was going to let him go through with that. It wasn't a cruel thing. Abraham was going to do it. He was going to worship God because he knew who he was and how magnificent and awesome he is. He feared him. He was going to obey him. No matter what he told him to do, he was going to obey the Lord. That knife was never going to touch Isaac. And now I know, and now you know, all the authorities and domain of darkness in heaven will look down on you and you'll see, wow, we thought we had it. But Abraham's faith just defeated the domain of darkness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He has transferred us from the domain of darkness. They no longer rule us. They no longer have authority over us. He's taken us completely out of that domain, completely out of that kingdom, and put us into His kingdom, where we just follow, fear, and obey Him. Sometimes we're tested with some really hard stuff when we feel really vulnerable, if not for us, for our kids. And we're tested. Are you still going to follow me? You have a shield. I'm your shield. Look, you don't need to be afraid of them. Walk with me. Walk through the land. I've given it all to you. Follow me. Don't fear them. I'm your shield. Don't fear the enemy. Don't fear the domain of darkness. I've taken you out. They're not going to get you back. Obey me. Let's test your faith a little bit here with some vulnerability in 2021. How's it going to go? You going to follow me? Not with your life, with the life of your kids. Absolutely we are. Absolutely we are. Our kids have our God, our Savior. They're as safe as you and I. They're as safe as your grandma and grandma. Talk about America. Oh, I wish I had America 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Wasn't that great? You got the same shield today they had back then. They've been transferred from the domain of darkness to the domain of light. We have today too. And our kids and our grandkids will 20 years from now. They have been transferred. They have a shield. Their reward is very great. You have nothing to fear. You're being tested with the future of our kids and our grandkids. What are we going to do? Sit down, take a deep breath, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and introduce them and teach them about the shield and the reward and how they've been transferred from the domain of darkness into the domain of His Son, into the kingdom of His Son. They have nothing to fear. Walk with God no matter what He says or does. You have nothing to fear. That's pretty amazing. He did tell him that. Here in Genesis. He did tell him that. You know, that's just not Colossians. If you look here in Genesis chapter 22, verse 13, verse 17, I will surely bless you. Let me begin at verse 15. It'll make more sense. And the angel of the Lord called to him a second time. First time he said, hey, don't touch your child. Don't touch. You're good. I know you fear me now, right? Okay, good. Second time, angel speaks again. Second time, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. That's pretty cool in and of itself. And said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that's on the seashore. Listen, and your offspring, this is a singular offspring. It's a singular masculine form of this word offspring. All right, this is Jesus, and it's Him talking. Your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. He will possess the gate of his enemies. He owns the devil. Don't worry. He's your shield. Frog. He's your shield. He's my grandkid's shield. He possesses the gate. You know what the gate is? That's the governing body, the place where all the politics, the decisions, everything. This is the city leaders were in the gate. He possesses it. He owns it. The offspring will possess the gate of his enemies. For our great grandparents, in the land of the free and the home of the brave, that America, for us in this America, and for our kids in whatever they're going to fundamentally transform this country into, he owns and possesses. He possesses the gate of his enemies. He's transferred us and will transfer them from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, and he possesses the gates of his enemies. Teach your kids, teach your grandkids about this Jesus, this offspring. You have nothing to fear. Fear him, obey him at all costs. Walk with him and he'll protect you. He'll walk you through it. Whatever happens, it's okay. He's got it. You're never coming out of the kingdom of his Son, ever. And he possesses. Why do the nations rage and they plot in vain against him? He possesses them. Heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord, and turns it like he would, like a stream, like a river. We're in complete harmony with God's will right now. This nation, you and I, our kids, your idiotic school system that you're fighting with, wrestling with, just to get your kids to learn 2 + 2, they're in complete compliance with God's will, where he wants us right now in this nation. And like Abraham, he's putting us in a place of vulnerability so that we will get on our face before him and say, I think you're all I have now. I want to raise my kids safely and lovingly, but I feel like you're all I have. That's a good place to be. He is your shield. He is your great reward. And he does possess the gates of our enemies. Walk with him. Spend some time this afternoon. Just spend some time this afternoon. Digest some of this. Let it test you. Let it test your heart. It's really good for us to untether our hearts from everything here and just commit ourselves to obey him. Maybe you start with the fear. Do I fear him? Do I trust him explicitly with the life of my kids and grandkids? Maybe it's time for us to look in the mirror and go, how big of God is this I pretend to serve? Because it gets really easy for me to disobey him sometimes. It's really easy for me to just kind of fudge the edges sometimes. That's a good chance for us. When we feel this vulnerability, to look at Abraham and go, man, I want that faith. I want that growing faith. It will march my young man up that mountain with fire and knife and go, God, he's yours. If you want him, this is how I worship you. I worship you, bud. I worship and obey you and no one else. Where you find yourself kind of hesitating, just know my faith needs to grow right there. Because I'm not to Abraham yet. But just keep telling yourself, I've got a shield. My reward is very great. Walk, walk with him. Walk through the land. I've given it all to you. Walk with me. Walk with me. Somebody want to go get Matt? Somebody already go get Matt? Why did she tell me to go have somebody go get Matt?
Back to go get them.
You want to go back and get them? That's what we're supposed to do? Well, since you know what we're supposed to do and I don't, what? I've been looking at him all morning, haven't I? All right. It's a little bump in the head. Let me say a word of prayer, and I think they're gonna bring the kids back up to sing and send us on our way. Be really good for us to let this sink in. Your kids and your grandkids have nothing to fear if they have Jesus Christ. He owns our enemy. Lord, thank you. You are our only hope. So many of us are making plans and thinking about the future and trying to figure out how we're going to do this. And if this happens, then we got to do this. And if that happens, then what should we do? And we're just, our minds and our hearts are racing, and anxiety is running a little bit higher these days. So Lord, I pray you'll just calm us with your shield and your reward. The promises of your word. You own our enemies. You possess the gates of our enemies. Lord, we trust you. We trust you with these kids that are coming now to sing, and we're so privileged to be a part of their life. Pray for each one of these parents here today, and grandparents too. Lord, we grandparents can get kind of irate sometimes, knowing the country we've come from and the country we're fast becoming. But the Lord sees young families that'll take us into the future. So I pray for each mom and dad. I pray for each one of these young people. Lord, they haven't even strained your power. They haven't even strained your muscle. They haven't even dented, scratched your shield. And they never will. So give us grace to obey and to fear and to walk with you in these vulnerable times. Amen.